Okay. Now, today's date is July the 23rd, 1998. Now, go ahead and state your name.
I'm Alma Pigman.
Okay. And, Ms. Pigman, have you lived here in Hineman?
All my life.
All your life.
I've lived in this location right here. I was brought here when my father died. I was 8 months old. And you see the cabin up there,
right.
The house, the log house,
uh-huh.
It stood right by this one, between this house and the garden.
Uh-huh.
And my mother came back home with the two of us. And Verdie was a little past two, and I was 8 months. So I've been here, except for a short period of time.
Okay.
And working away at college, and just for a few months at a time.
Yeah.
But this has always been home.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit, about growing up here. I've talked to your sister, but it's always nice to hear different things.
When I could first remember, living was awfully hard for people around here.
Right.
There was no mechanical things. I mean, everything was horse and the crops were made, with the plows and horse-drawn plows and things of that sort, and hard work in the gardens. And of course, everybody had plenty to eat. They always raised gardens, and they were warm and comfortable in the homes. But we didn't have the pretty things that other children had, and things of that sort. And I was thinking this morning, when I went to school, we always, our dresses were all handmade.
Mm-hmm.
Our aunt lived here too, and she was a good seamstress, so she made our clothes. There were no such things as patterns you could go and buy. You looked in the Sears Roebuck book for Montgomery Ward catalog, saw a dress you liked, and that was the dress you got. And she was a pretty good imitator.
That's neat, though, that she can do that.
So that was the type of dress, but I was thinking, we always got a new dress or two for school. And that was a thing we looked forward to all through the summer, I couldn't remember. I think, when I was between three and four, but I remember very distinctly, when I was five and getting ready to go to school, and what an exciting time it was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was a country school, but you wanted to know more about, I guess, how we played.
Yeah, just
some of the neighbor children would. And we didn't have many places to go. Of course, we had no playgrounds or nothing of that sort. But for our recreation, we made up our games a whole lot. We played over there on that hillside. We'd build our playhouses, stack up rocks, and make the houses, and even make the furniture. And we used moss to upholster the furniture. We had the prettiest green furniture you ever saw. And then we played it. We played in the creek a lot. We waded up and down the creek, and we played with make little imaginary boats and use different things to float. One time we got got our cousin in what had been a pig trough.
Oh.
We thought it would float. We got her all wet, and we were in more hot water from that one.
I'd say you are. Well, it sounds like y'all managed to find things to do.
Did, and we played in the sand a lot.
Yeah.
Would pile it up and make sandcastles and things of that sort. And we used the willow trees for horses to ride. Yeah.
Well, how did you said that you were here with your mom and your grandparents and your sister. How did you all, did you all make a living?
Farming.
Okay.
They raised big crops of corn and raised horses, but kept horses.
Uh-huh.
Raised cattle and sheep and hogs and chickens, and sold those. And when the settlement started the Fireside Industries, they wanted somebody to help get the ideas, to bring all the old patterns and ways of weaving, hand weaving. And they asked my grandmother to help with that, and she did. She went out over the country. She went way up over to Ball and way up on Carr to talk to some older ladies who would remember back. She had woven quite a bit when she was young.
Yeah.
But she said she just lost the skill and had forgotten about a lot of it. So she did help, and she helped revive it.
Oh, so she helped actually revive that at the settlement school then,
I guess. Yes, she did. See, now that's her picture up there. And that's one of the coverlets.
Neat.
That's one of the coverlets she wove.
That's a great picture.
And that's, what's her name? I'll think of it in a minute. Not. Famous photographer from New York, and that's one of the last things she did. She was here.
Really?
And when she went, I think she died about 2 weeks after that. Anyhow, her collection, they have a collection of her pictures at Berea, and they have them, I know they've been on exhibition in the library at Berea and at UK and different places. And some of these are included.
And your grandmother's in there, isn't that neat?
Pardon?
And that's your grandmother?
Yes.
In those pictures?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's Letitia Hayes. Okay. Everybody knew her as Aunt Tish. It was customary to call all the older people around here aunt and uncle, even though they were not related.
Right.
So my grandparents were Uncle Wes and Aunt Tish, were all our playmates. And, well, we visited back and forth. I guess there were several families around where they had children our age.
Yeah.
They'd come up and play with us on weekends. We didn't get out during the week. Weekdays were work days.
Right.
And people didn't get out and loaf then. There was no, you worked all week. Some Saturdays, some people took.
Right.
And so we raised the food. We raised the gardens, you know, and we canned apples and beans and berries and peaches. And we had dried beans and dried apples, pickled beans, smoked apples, and some of the things like turnips, some apples, and cabbage. They would make beds in the garden.
Yeah.
And fill it in up to where it would be dry and put hay under it, and then cover it over with hay and then dirt on top of that. And they were kept during the winter. Mm-hmm. Get them out that way. And potatoes were done. Hmm. Well, they were usually in the heaped up.
Yeah.
Piles, I guess you call them.
So is that what most families did around here?
That's
is that how most of them lived?
That's the way they made that's where their food came from. Of course, they always kept cows, and everybody had a pasture.
Right.
Raised a lot of corn and used that. And everybody had to be busy.
That
all
sounds
day
like
long.
It.
Mm-hmm. You got up, you had there was over the, we didn't have electricity then. And you had to build fires in the stove for heat, or in the fireplaces, on in the stove for cooking. And you had to bake the bread. There were no stores. I mean, you couldn't go and buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You had to cook everything from start to finish. Then for the women, there were the chickens to feed, the cows to milk, and dishes to wash, garden to hoe, the washing to be done, which had to be done on a rubbing board.
Right.
And all very primitive, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And that didn't change. I mean, we didn't get electricity until in the 30s.
Yeah, that's what a few people have said different dates, but I guess it just depended on where you live.
Well, it came through, the big power line came through up here.
Yeah.
In 32 or 33, I guess. I'm not sure just which.
Yeah.
I know I had the first, got the first radio in 1934. But
that's
another thing. We had no radios, no television. Yeah. Our granddad played the violin or the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most music we had.
I think that'd be pretty entertaining.
It was. It was. We just loved that. And they were good storytellers, telling about the old ways, and Grandma especially talked about that, how things that they did. Granddad didn't tell us so much. He'd tell about his dad going hunting and and the things he and his brothers did sometimes.
Yeah.
We didn't get so much from him.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk a little bit about your school years.
Okay. I can remember, as I said a while ago, I could remember how exciting it was, you know, when we were getting ready to. And we always got one or two dresses. We thought we were dressed up. And we got a penny pencil. Have you ever seen a penny pencil?
I don't think I have.
They were brown, of course, about the ordinary length. But the eraser was just maybe glued down in the top. It was just a little tiny pointed, little bit of an eraser there.
Yeah.
But they cost a penny. But we got a penny pencil and a tablet for the first day of school. And our granddad would take those pencils and cut a little notch around just below the top, tie a twine string around that. We'd put it around our necks. And believe it or not, that penny pencil lasted us half a year.
Really?
We had to hold on to them. We didn't get a pencil every day.
Hmm.
Like to do now.
Now, where did you go to school in elementary?
You know where the barber shop is out here?
Uh-huh.
In just a little bit this side and down below. It was down the bank a little bit.
Okay.
And I went to school my first day there, and I taught my first day there.
So how many years did you go up there to that school?
I went until fifth grade.
And then did you go to Hindman?
And then I went to Hindman, a walk from home.
Uh-huh.
And this was a muddy road, you know.
Oh, I'd say.
No. We had to go up around the hills.
How long did it take you to get from here to Hindman?
I think about 45 minutes.
Wow. Now you can drive in like 2 minutes.
Of course, in the country schools, we had all 8 grades. One teacher would have sometimes 50 to 70 children in all 8 grades. And we sat in double benches, not benches, but seats.
Uh-huh.
I can remember when we did have some homemade benches where the carpenters just made them, but these were the ones that they bought from supply houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd sit, my sister and I usually sat together. And at that time, the county didn't furnish the textbooks. We had to have our own, ready by our own. And they were handed down from the older children to the younger. It felt real important when you got a new book. This has never been used. And
well, what are some things you remember about being in school up at Hindman when you went up there? Maybe some
older Hindman.
Uh-huh. Maybe a teacher or somebody.
Well, now when I went down there, Little Hale was my first teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I entered the fifth grade, and she was such a kind, good teacher. And I remember one project she had was studying the flowers, mountain flowers. And I guess we did that in the spring of that year. And she took us on a hike down Cowtown,
mm-hmm.
up that branch and back up to the top of the hill, and then we followed the ridge back to the Perkins High Rocks,
mm-hmm.
and came back down the hill back to the settlement. And of course we gathered flowers and identified them on the way. That was one thing I remember especially. And I know I can remember the county fair.
Oh, what was that like?
The thing I remember about myself, Miss Hale had us all get little spelling pads.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised when I went down there and found my spelling pad on exhibit because I had. But, I mean, they more people entered from out in the county, you know, they entered the things they had grown. And it was the school children all participated. They learned yells and songs and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
They let each school that wanted to demonstrate their achievements. And of course they had contests and athletic contests and things, races and things of that sort. And, but the ladies all took in their own canned fruits and vegetables. They took in handmade quilts, dresses, and the men, of course, brought their animals, chickens and pigs and cattle. It was very active. They took more interest than they do now.
Hmm.
There wasn't too many other things to be interested in.
Yeah.
And so everybody participated. It was quite an active thing.
And you were talking about, you said that sometimes the school children could do things. Did your all's classes ever do anything at the fair?
I remember we wrote songs, school songs,
mm-hmm.
sang them. I don't remember. I remember my sister's was one that she wrote. The high school did.
Uh-huh.
Well, and,
that's nice.
Of course, we would have like races, foot races, and tug of war, things of that kind. But I don't remember anything that our grade did, especially to demonstrate.
So. Okay. Well, now talk a little bit about what you got into high school at Hyndman. Now, did you graduate in 1929?
That's right.
Okay, I was making sure I'd looked that up, but I wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe, I think it's neat to hear stories and experiences that people had, especially in high school, because that's what we're trying to find out about what it was like going to school there and about the teachers. And so maybe let's start out with classes you had that you remember enjoying.
I remember algebra and Latin. Of course, I had Latin under Miss Cobb.
Uh-huh.
She was the sweetest, nicest person. The most gracious person you could imagine.
Really?
She made you feel, if you felt you made a break, she managed to make you feel comfortable with it. She said, now I see what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I see what you're talking about. But it really, I think, if you think about it in this way, You'll see that.
Yeah.
And she was such a considerate, good person. And Clark Pratt taught algebra. He was very good, very kind, considerate. Eda K. Smith taught health. Now I'm getting the years tangled up, but
well, that's
Professor
fine.
Smith,
yeah, that's fine.
Taught. I had biology under him,
mm-hmm.
and if he'd tell us go catch worms, I went call worms. That was why they mentioned in the class prophecy that I would be in Africa writing a book on ants, because I took an active part when he wanted a specimen for the class.
Mm-hmm.
I did get out and find them, spiders and all kinds of crawly things.
I guess you didn't mind bugs and all those things.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's funny.
I gathered them. I couldn't remember going over there above the road under those beech trees. got a lot of wiggly things over there. And, well, let's see. Ralph was one of the teachers. Miss Foote taught geometry. I can't remember. Miss Ryder was an English teacher. I remember one time, a little funny incident. We were down there. We had, what was the workshop we had? I mean, what term was later used for the manual training?
Yeah.
We had classes up. That was our high school building, really. We had classes down there and some up in the grade school, too. But there was two rooms upstairs and a door that was made of some kind of plywood or something thin. Anyhow, somebody burst a hole in it. And they just oiled the floors. And one day, it was our algebra class, it was the back room. We had to go through the room, Miss Cobb's room in front of it. And Miss Foote was late coming to class. And Afton Smith and Jim Buke were always playing tricks on each other. And Jim got up and went down to peep through into Miss Cobb's class, uh-huh, because our teacher wasn't there. Afton slipped up behind him and gave him a shove, with the floor being freshly off. Jim was sliding on back through the other class. Miss Cobb was kind of surprised to see him coming through that way.
Yeah. Let's see. One thing I've asked people about is, I found it's a good way to find some interesting stories, is talking about their friends, people that they remembered, you know, spending time with when they were in high school. There were some people that...
Well, of course, in our class, I guess, we were more together than, spent more time together than with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And since I didn't stay in the settlement, I didn't spend so much time with the pupils down there.
Yeah.
Marie Stewart and Gertrude Mayer were the two girls in my class.
Uh-huh.
And we spent our recesses and time together. And, well, let's see, now Grace Baker was a friend of mine who lived in town. We spent some time together. Cuba Thacker, who was Bob Thacker's sister, was a very good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get together on weekends much.
Really?
It was just at school, mostly.
So you didn't really do things outside of school with your friends?
No, not much. Our class had for commencement, the senior class usually sponsored a play. Ours was As You Like It, and we enjoyed that. Of course, it was hard for me to go for practice. I spent some nights with some of my friends on the times we had to practice down there.
Yeah.
And one year I stayed at Hiram Taylor's home. He was county superintendent, and he had to ride horseback to go out and visit the schools over the county.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have to spend time away from home, some nights away from home. And since they had a new baby, he wanted somebody just to be there with his wife, you know, and the children. So he asked me if I'd stay, and I did. I enjoyed that. It was different. I came from the other direction. They lived down below him, just below the new housing development, across
okay.
on the other side. And if you know Donna Turner,
mm-hmm.
she was a little 4-year-old, 5-year-old. I brought her to kindergarten. And course, the boys played basketball.
Yeah.
We, the boys in our class, were on the team. It was Andrew Hammonds. I'm now not sure they all were on.
Yeah.
But the boys were Andrew, Becca Miller, Kyle Hammonds, Joe Sloan, and Orban Pratt. Kyle didn't graduate with us. He went to Cambridge at the last year. But he was with us all up until the last.
So did you all go to watch many basketball games? Was that
the only ones we could watch were the ones that were played there.
Uh-huh.
Because we didn't have cars to go with them. When the boys went out in the county to play. And, but we didn't get to go with them, but we did watch that. And it was, we were very excited then. I can remember seeing Miss Furman walk around.
Did you know her very well?
I was not too well acquainted with her. I knew her, of course, speaking acquaintance. See her and her bunch of little boys.
Yeah. Did you know Miss Watts very well? Or
Miss Watts was my seventh grade teacher. She was principal at that year.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I did, I was behind really a year. Wasn't that dumb. Just out here, we weren't promoted. We just put ourselves in whatever grade we wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And my mother didn't want me to try to be bigger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went down there, I went in the fifth grade, but then we entered the sixth. Miss Reed was our teacher, and she had a big group to start with, but then she had several of us who were overage for that grade, and she chose about five or six that she said she would help us after school if we would go on to the seventh grade at the second semester.
Uh-huh.
So we did that. Several of us started, but Marie and I were the only two who went on.
Yeah.
We entered the seventh in the second semester. So Miss Watts was principal at that time. And Miss Underwood, I guess, was her other teacher. But Miss Watts taught to he taught arithmetic and health and civics. And we talked the other day in the eighth grade. That's when it changed. Miss Watts went over to the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she lived in the settlement anyhow, but
yeah,
she went over there to take charge. And we had a new teacher, Miss Johnson, Frances Irene Johnson, from Louisville, and she was a dedicated teacher.
Really?
She really put us over the road now, but she made us learn. Mm-hmm. We respect her. She was good. She was the one who had the idea of having the boys or the girls too. Anybody who needed discipline for any reason. She had a wooden gun carved, like a rifle.
Yeah.
And during the noon hour or the recess period, we'd have to march back and forth across the playground. She called it doing guard duty.
Uh-huh.
If you misbehaved, you got to do guard duty. If you didn't do your work, you got to do guard duty. I got to do guard duty one day when I missed a spelling word. And that was the funniest thing. We never had any noodles. I'd never seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what it was. But I always studied my lesson. But that...